first verse, Ishvara Paramakrishna, we end with that. It's a very famous verse. And today we'll be reading from the Brahma Samhita on page number 99, one of my favorite verses, which is text number 54. In this verse, Ya Govinda Hihu to but Indragopam, to the small red insect called Indragopa. Atava, or even, Indram, to Indra, king of heaven. Aho, O, Sukarma, of one's own fruit of activities. Banda, bondage. Anurupa, according to, Pala, of reactions. Bhajanam, enjoying or suffering. Atunoti, bestows. Karmani, all fruit of activities and their reactions. Nirdahati, destroys, kintu, but. Cha, also, bhakti bhajam, of persons engaged in devotional service. Govindam, Govinda, Adipurusham, the original person. Tam, him, aham, I, bhajami, worship. Translation, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruit of activities of those who are imbued with devotion. Who does he burn up the results of all fruit of activities for?
Those who worship
him
with devotion.
Who? Correct. Of those who are imbued with devotion. And impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities, of all those who walk in the path of work, in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works. No less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indragopa than that of Indra, king of the Devas. Purport. God impartially induces the fallen souls to act in the way that is consequent on the deeds of their previous births and to enjoy the fruition of their labors. But out of his great mercy to his devotees, he purges out by the fire of ordeal the root of all karma, nescience, and evil desires. Karma, though without beginning, is still perishable. The karma of those who work with the hope of enjoying the fruits of their labors becomes everlasting and endless and is never destroyed. The function of sannyas is also a sort of karma befitting an ashram. It is not pleasant to Krishna when it aims at liberation, that is, the desire for emancipation. They also receive fruition and their karma, and even if it be disinterested, their karma ends in atma mamata, that is, self-pleasure. But those who are pure devotees always serve Krishna by gratifying his senses, forsaking all attempts of karma and jnana, and being freed from all desires save that of serving Krishna. Krishna has fully destroyed the karma, its desires, and nescience of those devotees. It is a great wonder that Krishna, being impartial, is fully partial to his devotees. This is a very encouraging verse. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Nami Dvesho Stinapriya, that I am equal to every living being. But actually, would you mind grabbing a Bhagavad Gita, Prakash Ji? I'll read you this verse from the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Because it, like everything in this Bhagavad Gita as it is, it has a very wonderful purport. This is text 29 in the 9th chapter. And what's the name of the 9th chapter? The most confidential knowledge. It's good to have the most confidential knowledge. Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dvesho stinapriyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. And all the pundits are looking up that verse already in their shloka books. I envy no one, Krishna says, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Purport. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But this is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity, in whatever form, is his son, and so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for his devotees, he gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase Krishna consciousness suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. The Lord says here distinctly, mayi te, they are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words, ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Whoever surrenders unto me proportionately, I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity, but in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree. What is the Lord like?
A desire tree.
And whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here, the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world, where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. I emphasize that in the purport that both the living entity and the Lord are conscious. So it's not that the Lord is a principle or a system or even a philosophy, but he's a person. And therefore, he reciprocates according to how we reciprocate with him. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. The tendency in the material world is towards ignorance. And what does ignorance mean? It means ignorance. Therefore, Mahavishnu, as we read just now in the Brahma Samhita, he's lying in the causal ocean. Not the casual ocean, but the causal ocean. And what is he doing in that causal ocean?
What does causal mean?
Causal? The cause. It's where everything, the cause of everything. It's like what it grows out of. It's kind of what Darwin said, out of some swamp pond, you know, complex living entity grew from nothing. But it actually doesn't grow from nothing. It comes from the Supreme Lord, as explained here in the Brahma Samhita and by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that everything emanates from me. So, what is he doing on the causal ocean?
Yoga Nidra.
Yoga Nidra, and what does that mean?
Creating innumerable.
No, what does Yoga Nidra mean?
Sleep.
He's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? Because he's the Lord of the material world. And no one's reciprocating here. Everyone's ignoring him, so he's asleep. Yeah, there's no reciprocation going on. But however, when it speaks of Goloka Vrindavan, Sriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Tarava, there's oceans of milk coming from the cows there, and the people are all dancing and singing. Why is that? How does a cow give milk? Who knows? When does a cow give milk? Who knows? No cow herds here? You better become a cow herd because you're going to be herding cows in the spiritual world. Milan Puru, when does a cow give milk?
When a calf is born.
When a calf is born. Why does a cow give milk when a calf is born? Why does any mother give milk when a baby is born? It's just biological? No, because actually cows, even when the calf is born, if the cow's in distress or not happy, it can't give milk. It gives milk out of love. Actually, that's when mothers give milk. There's so much affection for the baby that the milk comes. When there's no calf there, there's no milk. There's some biological thing, but actually, you know, nowadays, of course, they do unspeakable things to cows. They force them to give milk and all these things through drugs and, you know, machines and all this. But naturally, if you raise cows, they give milk when the baby's there because they have so much affection for the baby. You watch a cow and a calf, and the cow's licking the calf, and as soon as the calf is separated, the mother goes crazy. You know, she's very much attached. So in the spiritual world, we're hearing how the living entities, they have so much love for the Lord. There's oceans of milk coming from the Surabhi cows, means out of love. All these things are flowing. So there's full reciprocation there with the Lord out of love. But in the material world, everyone's ignoring. Bayam dvitiya binibeshitasya ishad apetasya viparya yosmiti. Apetasya means this, to turn away. Ishad, from who? From the Supreme Controller, from Krishna. So, ishad apetasya viparya yosmritihi, and then one forgets everything and goes into ignorance. So, Krishna reciprocates, and also, living being, he's like a desire tree. He doesn't consider what you're asking, he just fulfills your desires. If you say, Krishna, I'd like to be a hog so I can eat garbage all day. Krishna, through the agency of material nature, he's fulfilling the desire of the living being. That's why it's important to have knowledge. Because if I don't have knowledge, I'll think, it's okay to be a hog. In fact, some even college students will say this. Well, what's the difference if I'm a man or a dog? I can be born as a dog. And in ignorance, I may think, you know, what's the problem with staying in the material world? But as soon as I have knowledge, Krishna says in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, then we become illumined and we understand what is our actual interest in life. You know, if you're in ignorance and you think it's financially, you'll go on spending on your credit card and you won't make any plan for the future. And then pretty soon somebody will be knocking at your door saying, you know, you owe us $30,000 with interest and penalties. And by the way, you know, we're taking your house in 30 days. I've got to watch TV now, you know. It's ignorance. You go on like, it doesn't matter. And so it doesn't matter, the human form of life. It's the same as a dog's life. No, it does matter. The Vedas are saying, no, it matters. It matters. Wake up. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come to the light. Come to knowledge. You have to come to knowledge now. And so coming to knowledge means we have a relationship with Krishna, with the supreme conscious entity, sanitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa, means we're eternally bound by this loving kinship. It's just that we've turned away, apetasya. So the formula, the process for regaining what we've lost, first knowledge and then our full love for Krishna, is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibesha tasyad Ishadapetasya viparya yosmriti tanmaya yatad buddha abhijet tam bhakyaika yesham guru devatatma. It's to practice turning back towards the Lord. And this is bhakti bhajam. In the beginning, this takes place by regulation, and this is called vidhi bhakti. Vidhi means rules. So Brahma's name is vidhi. That's why the 62nd verse, this last verse of the Brahma Samhita, Mahavishnu is speaking to Brahma at the beginning of creation. He says, listen, O Vidhi. He's calling him by this name, Vidhi, Because Brahma is Mr. Rules and Regulations. And, you know, he does everything perfectly. That's a living entity becomes Brahma after 100 lifetimes of practicing Varnashram perfectly, which is practically impossible. Then a living entity becomes, so you can imagine how Brahma is. In fact, when Brahma first saw Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, he said, that can't be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Look, he's eating out of his left hand. He was sitting with his cowherd boyfriends in a circle. He was like the center of the flower, and they were all sitting around having picnic lunch. He was putting food in their mouth, taking it back out. You know how kids play, and doing all kinds of, and he's holding the food in his left hand, and Vidhi's looking and going, that's God? He's eating with his left hand. He doesn't know anything. That can't be God. So he said, let me try this. He stole all his cowherd boyfriends and calves and put them away in some mystic slumber. And of course, Krishna, being omniscient, saw that they were all gone and realized that Vidhi had stolen them. And he was so intimately in touch with every one of his friends that he was able to reproduce exactly each one of the calves and cowherd boys in every one of their tendencies. You know, this is one of the wonderful things about creation, actually, if you think about our independence. But also think about this. There's everything in this universe is absolutely 100% unique. No one in this room has the same thumbprint. No one in the city has the same thumbprint. No one in the whole country or universe has the same thumbprint. There's not one particle in the universe that's the same as any other particle. It's all unique, absolutely unique. And so is our relationship with Krishna. But Krishna, being so intimately related with all these devotees, manifested himself as each one of them perfectly, so that the mothers back home couldn't tell the difference. Except for one thing, they had more affection for them. When those boys and calves came back, the cows had more affection for the calves, the mothers had more affection for their cowherd boys, because they were actually expansions of Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami explains why this is. He says, because the actual self-interest of every living entity is Krishna, who is Atmanam Akilatmanam. That means he's the soul of our souls. We're interested in our bodies, in our houses, in our cars, in our family. Why? Because we're in them. We project ourselves into them. I'm projecting myself into this bottle. This is a bottle, right? But not anymore. This is my bottle. That's a big word, my. It goes out like a tree and it grabs everything. And it says, this is mine, and that's mine, and this is mine. And now I care about it. If someone comes and steals the bottle, now I go, where's my bottle? It's a problem for me. If it's Narahari's bottle and someone steals it, well, it's kind of a problem for me too, because I care about Narahari. But if it's somebody across the street, I don't care. It's not my bottle. It doesn't relate to me. So Atmanam Akhilatmanam means every soul is actually interested, self-interested. But we're projecting ourself into matter. But matter doesn't matter unless we're actually conscious of it. And what's actually important to us is the soul of our soul, which is Krishna, because we emanate from Krishna. And Krishna is our ever-well-wisher, and he's the source of our very self, how much we will be attracted to Krishna. And that's why the mothers and the cows were so overwhelmed with affection for Krishna, and the cows for their calves. And that story is there in this Srimad Bhagavatam. Later, Krishna revealed to Brahma, to Vidhi, that actually each one of these boys, their Narayan forms emanating from the body of Krishna. Now, Narayan, of course, is all-powerful, and he's creating all these worlds just by his will. And from Brahma saw that those Narayans were emanating from Krishna's body. And therefore, he saw, yes, he fell down like a stick in front of this little cowherd boy, Krishna. And of course, the cowherd people and everything like that, they don't understand exactly who Krishna is, because out of love, they're overwhelmed with affection for him. They don't care if he's the Supreme Personality of God. They just want to play with him. They just want to be with him. They just want to take care of him. And this is going on eternally in Goloka Vrindavan, full love all the time. In the material world, the ignorance is there. We're covered by that. So this verse gives the process by which to rectify the situation Yastvindra Gopa Matavendra Mahosa Karma Bandhan Rupa Palabhajana Matunoti. We're getting this result of our previous karma since a time immemorial called Anadi Karma. There's no beginning to it. You can't trace it out. It's beginningless. But if one takes to bhakti, Yastvindra Gopa Matavendra Mahosa Karma Bandhan Rupa Palabhajana Matunoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chapakti Bhajam. Bhakti Bhajam means what we're doing here. We're hearing and chanting. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantakstohi Padrani Vidunoti. Vidunoti Suritsatam. Vidunoti. There's a machine in India called a Vidunoti. You know what it does? It takes the wheat and it separates out the chaff from the wheat. It's a Vidunoti. And so Vidunoti Suritsata means by hearing the transcendental sound, Krishna is in your heart. He acts like Vidunoti. He separates out all the material desires and purifies the heart, takes the chaff away from the real essence of what we want in life, which is a relationship. This world, if you take away all the relationships, you don't have anything. Take any part of your life, you take away the relationship, you're void of any happiness. It's only the relationships which make us happy. And the supreme relationship was with Krishna. So by worshipping Krishna through transcendental sound, especially hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily, and by chanting this prayer, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare. Whatever karma is there will be destroyed. And Krishna, who is a conscious living being, reciprocates with us and gives us the actual desire of our heart. And even if we have contrary desires as we're performing this process, in other words, we may take up the process with full vigor and hopefulness of attaining the goal and then become again overwhelmed by some material desire. Krishna sees that one who has begun this process will be pulled along, even by force. Even if one doesn't want the result at some point and says, okay, I don't want it anymore, I don't want to surrender, Krishna will forcibly pull that person who begins the process of bhakti. That's how powerful it is. So a little bit, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, neha bikramanashosti pratyavayo navidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya su-alpam means tiny little bit of this bhakti bhajam. It is eternally beneficial to the soul. Eternally beneficial. What to speak of if you start doing it every day? You start mainlining this process of shravanam kirtanam, you know, putting it right into the ear every day, purposefully. And in the beginning, some days we'll feel like it, and some days we won't feel like it. And that's what vidhi means. It means you do it anyway in the beginning, because you know, you may have good days and you may have bad days, but you get up and you do it anyway. And then gradually, you'll develop a spontaneous taste where this tastes better than anything else. And the other things start vidunoti. They start getting winnowed out. You know, all the useless things in our life that really don't do anything for us, they're just wasting time, get winnowed out. And the essence of life becomes our right. It becomes our power, our right. Krishna gives us the power to worship him 24 hours a day without break. He'll give us that right. By performing service, especially in the Sankirtan movement, Krishna will give us all facility for good association. Through that good association, we'll be empowered to perform more service. It's not that anyone can come in and just perform service. It's sometimes devotees who perform service and they make some offense and they leave for some time and then they want to come right back in and just take up where they left off. It's not so easy. You have to come back in and find your place and take a little service. And if it's awarded to you, it's great mercy. So whatever we have now, we should hold on to, cherish it, protect it, put a fence around it, and grow it a little bit every day by watering that seed, by chanting, by hearing, by serving the devotees. The most dangerous thing in devotional service, of all things is to criticize devotees. That, even for people who are making great advancement, great strides in devotional service, if we become critical of Vaishnavas, just as speaking in this purport and in the verse how Krishna is specifically partial to his devotees, so he specifically punishes people who are critical of devotees. So we should be very careful of that. That should be anathema to us. We should avoid it at all costs. And Lord Chaitanya said, the tongue has a tendency to criticize anyway. That's the material disease. Nindari shunya hridam ipsata sangalabhya. He says that those who are very advanced, they're losing that tendency. Ninda. Ninda means to criticize. It's like, wow, look at that. That person just did something wonderful. He says, yeah, but, you know, it wasn't that great. He could have done it with a little more style. And, you know, we try to, like, because I want to be the center. And if somebody else all of a sudden did something wonderful, then they're the center. Actually, the more we glorify others, the more we become glorified. It's just that in material life, we're turned around the opposite direction. And we think that we have to, you know, try to criticize others. So Lord Chaitanya said that tendency to criticize might be there on the tongue. And if we do criticize, or the tendency comes out to criticize, said you can turn it around by giving praise instead. Because the tongue wants to do something. You can't just, of course you could try like this. But if instead he says, oh, that guy is it? Oh, he has really nice kids. turn it around. Make a turnaround. And so Lord Chaitanya said that criticizing is like poison, but praising is like nectar. And it'll counteract that tendency. So all these are within the realm of this bhakti bhajam, you know, serving the devotees, hearing and chanting, and doing service, especially in the Kali Yuga age. Get some service in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's just been here, and he's giving service to everybody through his representatives, and there's a lot of work to be done to spread the Sankirtan movement. There's unlimited preaching. So get some position in that realm, and Krishna will give us more and more and more. He'll give us access to Vrindavan Dham. If we perform service in the Sankirtan movement here in Silicon Valley, that is engaging and spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna and organizing, helping serve devotees, he will allow us to go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's not everybody that gets to go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. That is Krishna's place. That's where he lives. That's where all the associates live. And of course, you can go there. You can try to buy a ticket and go there. But if you haven't done service in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, even if you get there to Sri Vrindavan Dham, you'll say, what is this place? This is really dirty here. Look at the air. You know, you won't see it. Your eyes will be covered. Brahmanjana chudita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva hridayesha vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamari purushantam aham bhajami. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by doing service for the Sankirtan movement and nicely chanting Hare Krishna, then we will actually get this inclination to go to Vrindavan, and we'll be able to feel Vrindavan and see Vrindavan when we're there. This is the perfection of life. That at the end, Eshe Vrindavan Radhe Sham Pabe Darshan. At the end, you'll have darshan of Vrindavan. And not just at the end, in this lifetime. But Krishna will give us all facility. Lord Chaitanya is giving us all facility. And the entrance, the portal, is the Sankirtan movement. Come in that way. Serve Lord Chaitanya by following the footsteps of his disciples, who are the Goswamis. The Goswamis gave the instructions of how to follow Lord Chaitanya. He asked them, take this huge, massive knowledge, which is like a Niagara Fall. If you try to go get a cup of water from Niagara Fall, it'll take your arm off. So at the bottom, what the Goswamis did is they made a lake out of that huge, massive fall of water and bliss coming out of Lord Chaitanya so that we could come and take from it. So the Goswamis have made that accessible through Nectar of Devotion. Everyone should read and understand Nectar of Devotion and the Association of Devotees. Nectar of Instruction by Rupa Goswami. These books are given to us by the Goswamis so that we can do this bhakti bhajam in our lives perfectly. So it's all here, the facilities here, and Krishna will reciprocate our desire. If we desire to perform devotional service, even if we can't do it, if we pray to Krishna and we maintain that desire, he's a desire tree. He's fulfilling desire of Bill Gates to come up with a, you know, whatever he came up with. And he's fulfilling the desire of Jonas Salk, who made the polio vaccine. You know, he explained how he was doing research for so many years and he just couldn't come to the equation. One day he was sitting in his car waiting for his wife in the grocery store, kind of dozing a little, leaning against him. All of a sudden, the formula came to him. Oh, that's it. Yeah, Krishna reciprocates everyone's desire. If you desire something, he'll reciprocate. He'll give you that. He's a desire tree. So if we form our desire so that we want to enter the Sankirtan movement, we want to follow in the footsteps of the great souls like Srila Prabhupada, then he'll also fulfill that desire. And that is the greatest occupation in life, to come to this position, to have some service in the Sankirtan movement and to be able to enter Sri Vrindavan Dham. Means to be able to go there, render some service, to see what it is, to appreciate what it is. And that means that our material desires will be waning. And those material desires are coming from an endless circle of karma that we've been creating over and over again, like debt. You know, people now in America, they're carrying so much debt. The government's carrying so much debt, and they can't get out of it. Trillions of dollars the government owes. Just to service the interest on the loan that America owes people all over the world for borrowing money, is billions and billions of dollars a month. You know, if we keep going at the rate we're going, pretty soon all we'll be doing is paying off the interest on the what we owe on the national debt around the world. And so we're like that in material life. We get involved in this cycle of spending. Material life means trying to get something for nothing, spending on a credit card, and after a while we become so much in debt that we can't get out of it. There's no way to get out of it. Devarshi bhutapna drinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam drinicha rajan saravatmano yasharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritakartam. There's only one way. You got to surrender. And then Krishna will absolve you of your debt. Otherwise, it's hopeless. One life after another will be implicated more and more and more paying off this debt. And this is this bandha, karma bandha, bound down to this debt of karma for so many lifetimes. So we can surrender to Krishna and our lives will become sublime. And this verse is telling us, encouraging us, that karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam, that every time we do some bhakti bhajan, even if it's a little bit, it will have great power to destroy all this karma that's binding us and help fulfill our heart's desire, which is actually to reconnect with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in our eternal relationship. Hare Krishna. So, let's do a few shlokas from the a couple of ashtakams, because ashtakams will lighten your life. These ashtakams are written, they're eight verses, and put together by, we only sing these songs and verses that are coming from great realized personalities that are passed down to us. So when they write something, it's as good as shastra. It is shastra. And it's giving the conclusion or the essence of the shastra. And the ashtakam is a particular form of poetry with eight verses in it. And by singing these ashtakams, it'll catch in your mind and your heart. And you start hearing the ashtakams over and over again. And they're short enough so that when you jump in your car and you're driving down to the local Safeway or Molly Stone's or wherever you happen to shop, you can actually chant this ashtakam. It's short enough so you can chant it from your house to the Safeway if you learn these ashtakams, and they will undoubtedly bring great spiritual benefit. So let's look at the ashtakam called the Kevalanam Ashtakam, which is titled in here, the holy name of Sri Hari is all that be. And it's under the yellow tab. We go by colors here instead of numbers because we know that in Silicon Valley, everyone's engaged all day long with numbers and formulas, and we want to relieve you of this. So there's a right brain, left brain connection here. So we go by these beautiful colors. And this one, Dainita, what is this color? What would you say?
Chartreuse.
This is chartreuse? I never knew what chartreuse was, but now... This is close to chartreuse. You see, you don't know the many talents of Dainidi until you... Who knew what chartreuse was? So this is where it is. If you can find the chartreuse, you'll know where we are. Did you find chartreuse? I don't know if she knows what chartreuse is. Okay. I didn't know. All right, so okay, let's do a one and two thing. So I'm a one.
Two.
No, one. You're a one. Just one and two. Okay. You already did one, right? Okay, sorry.
Two. One.
Two.
One.
One. Okay. So all the ones will start on the first one, and then all the twos will do the second one. Okay? So you get to hear who's more enthusiastic, the ones or the twos. And what we'll do is we'll do the Sanskrit, then the English, all the ones. And then the twos will do the Sanskrit and English for the next one. Okay? And who will be our judge? To see the ones or the twos did better. Who's an impartial judge? Antonio? Dainidi, can he be impartial?
Well, I already said the twos won.
We're going to pick Antonio. You be the judge, okay? Of who does better, the ones or the twos. Are you up for it? That's your service today. Okay, we won't hold it against you much. Okay, ready? Once. Maduram madare bhyopi mangale bhyopi mangalam pavanam pavane bhyopi harinami vakevalam. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's good fortune's paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be.
From Rama's realm atop the sky down to the lonely grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth,
the only truth,
the name of Shri Hari, the holy name of Shri Hari.
Sa Guru, Sa Pita, Cha Pi, Sa Mata, Bandhavopi, Sa Shiksha Yet Chit Sada Smartum, Hare Name Vakevalam. He's the Guru, he's the Father, he's the friend most true, and she's the real mother who most kindly teaches you. To always chant and hear the holy name of Sri Hari. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be.
Remember that from your breath may come at any time, no matter if you are old or sick or have a joyful crime. So young and old alike should chant the name insensitively.
Hari sada vasetatra yatra bhagavata jana gayanti bhakti bhavena hare name vakevalam. Lord Sri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees whose hearts are fixed on him and free of all impurities uplift their voices high and sing his name in ecstasy. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be.
Aho dukkham aha dukkham dukkha dukkha karamyaka kacharam vishuram ratnam harinam vakevalam. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, what much calamity for people to forget the holy name of Sri Hari, although the name of Christ is chanted in broken glass they see. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be.
Diyatam diyatam karno niyatam niyatam vachaha giyatam giyatam nityam hare name vakevalam. Just fill your ears, just fill them with the names of Sri Hari. Just chant the name. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name. Just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be.
It makes its world appear like bits of straw on the ground. It splendorously reigns supreme, divinity and sound. It's filled with transcendental bliss and fearless purity. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be.
Everyone together. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Sri Hari, a certain sage composed this hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who read this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Sri Hari in ecstasy. Kevalam Am Namashtakam Ki. Okay, Antonio. Ones or twos? Okay, it's the same. It was a draw. Congratulations to everybody. Give yourself a hand.